Often we hear about people of other faiths accepting Islam, particularly celebrities or people of influence. But how often have you heard of a person who was an antagonist against Islam, accept the religion, and chooses to live among the people he once despised and saw as backward and bloodthirsty? Former American pastor Samuel Strop Shire is one such person.
I was a Christian pastor in the United States, not a pastor of a church, but I was an ordained pastor working with nonprofit agencies, Christian agencies throughout the U.S., Canada, and England. I worked on lobbying the American Congress, British and Canadian parliaments on behalf of persecuted Christians, Jews, and Muslims. Our work was very successful. I would take congressmen and members of parliament with me to travel alongside me so that I could speak to the heads of state in different countries. I later got involved in politics. I was the head of the Democratic Party in Annapolis, Maryland, which is the capital of Maryland. In Annapolis, I was elected to the city council. Then I ran for mayor, and thinking, you know, if I can be mayor, this is the capital of Maryland, maybe someday I will be governor of Maryland.
Samuel was raised as a congregant of the Fundamental Baptist Church. Let's hear his story of his childhood.
Jones Academy, Fundamentalist Christian High School in Greenville, South Carolina. You see, my mom raised me in the Baptist Church. Bob Jones is predominantly Baptist, but my mother would take me to church on Sunday, and she would, at the end of the church service, she would take me to the church library, and there were all kinds of children's books, and she'd let me pick one out. And the one that I got over and over again was called The God of Abraham, and it had beautiful color pictures of camels and desert. And she would take me home, she'd put me in her lap, and she would open the book and start reading to me. And she would tell me the story of Abraham. She'd say, Sammy, look into my eyes. When you're older, you have to pray to the God of Abraham, there's only one God. That stayed with me all my life. I went to Christian Academy, and I got to the academy. You know, of course, they were teaching Trinity. And I asked my Bible instructor, I said, I'm confused about Trinity. I don't know how to rationalize this, think about it. And he would tell me, well, it's sort of like an egg. The egg has a shell. It's an egg yellow, egg white. It's one egg. And I said, but you mean God is like an egg? Oh, no, God's not like an egg. I went to university or Christian college, Shelton College. I asked my theology teacher, I said, explain Trinity to me. He said, well, he had a banana on his desk. He peeled the banana, and inside he squeezed the yellow part of the banana, and it came apart in three parts. He said, you see, it's three parts, but it's one banana. I said, you mean it's God is like a banana? No. No, I'm just trying to explain Trinity to you. Finally, I got to first graduate school I went to, Faith Theological Seminary, also Fundamentalist Presbyterian Seminary. And I asked theology teacher there, please explain the Trinity to me. And he said, we can't explain it. It's a mystery. And then so it was always a question in my mind. And I kept hearing the words of my mother, believe in the God of Abraham, there's only one God. He's not three parts. And so that's been me until I arrived in Saudi Arabia, and I didn't convert to Islam. I've been a Muslim all my life, and I discovered it when I arrived here after going to three graduate schools.
Strop Shire was influenced by American religious leader and televangelist Jerry Falwell, founder of the Moral Majority, a political organization for the promotion of conservative social values. Throughout his career, Falwell engendered controversy with remarks that many Americans perceived as intolerant or bigoted. The September 11, 2001 attacks on the United States, a statement he subsequently retracted, he identified Muhammad, the Prophet of Islam, peace and blessings be upon him, as a terrorist, and he asserted that the Antichrist was a currently living Jewish male. Despite the hostility he sometimes provoked, Falwell was largely responsible for making American Christian conservatives politically active, and he had a marked impact on other aspects of American religious and political life in the late 20th century.
Including Liberty Baptist Theological Seminary, Jerry Falwell School.
Farwell, you went to his His college, Christian college?
We got married at Thomas Road Baptist Church, Jerry Falwell's church.
The famous Jerry Falwell, have you ever met him?
Oh, many times. He used to take me with him on his private plane to fly to different meetings.
Oh, so you're good friends with Jerry Falwell.
He passed away about 10 years ago.
Yeah. His son took over, correct?
His son was, until recently.
I've always thought if more good people had concealed carry permits, then we could end those Muslims.
The former Christian pastor traveled to Jeddah in 2011 to work as an editor for a new, easy-to-read English version of the Quran. Prior to his trip, he was worried about being discriminated against in the kingdom due to his religion, explaining that media outlets portrayed Muslims and Saudis specifically in a negative light.
Before I went, students from the United States Naval Academy, my friends, they were coming to me. They were saying, don't go, don't go. They were showing me pictures of videos of people being decapitated and killed by Muslims, kidnapped by Muslims. And I tried to go in another direction after that. I tried to do different things, but no door opened to me, only this one. Dr. Safi Kaskas, who is a Lebanese-American, came to me and said, Samuel, I want you to come with me to Saudi Arabia to work on a new translation of the Quran. Well, I wasn't translating. I didn't know Arabic at all. And I knew nothing about Quran and nothing about Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. I had 15 years of Christian theological studies, and that was their interest in me because they wanted to cross-reference the Quran with the Old and New Testaments of the Bible. It had never been done before. They had permission from the Grand Mufti of Egypt to work to do this project, and they wanted it to attract Christians and Jews to read the Quran. That was the purpose. So we cross-referenced. I put 3,000 footnotes at the bottom where the name Ibrahim was mentioned. Then I would show in the Bible where it was mentioned. If the word Ar-Rahman was mentioned, Elohim mentioned, I would show where these words, grace and mercy, were mentioned in the Bible. It was an incredible opportunity to do something that I could not imagine to have done, but at the same time to learn about Islam. And every time I read the Quran through, and I read it many times during the first 6 months of being there, my heart changed a little bit more. I would see things that my mother taught me when I was a child about the virgin birth, about Jesus and his miracles in the Quran. So at the end of 6 months, I walked down the street. I heard azan for Maghrib prayer. I went down the street to Masjid Taqwa Mosque, and I started knocking on the door. I didn't know that I could just open the door and go in. I was a Christian pastor. I didn't know if permitted for me to go inside the mosque. I wanted to have permission and invitation. Finally, Shafiq Zubair, the muadin, came to the door. And he said, may I help you? And I said, yes, I'm a Christian pastor from America. Is it okay to step inside the mosque? I want to see what's going on. And he said, of course. He gave me a big hug. It was that hug. And that love that brought me to Islam. I went down the street. I went to sit in the back of the mosque for 3 days. I would just sit in a chair because I didn't understand what was going on. So people bowing, praying, saying things in Arabic that I didn't understand. And then I said to Shafiq after 3 days, I went through every prayer. After 3 days, I said, Shafiq, can you please teach me to pray like a Muslim? And he taught me Al-Fatiha. I wish I could recite it like Ibrahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Rahman Elohim Maliki Yawmiddin. Yaka Na'budu Yaka Nasta'in. Ihdina Sirat al-Mustaqim Sirat al-Ladina An'amta Alayhim Ghayril Maghdubi Alayhim Waladdallin. Amin. That was it. I went down the road to Islamic Education Foundation. Dr. Sadiq Malki led me in saying Al-Shahada.
So what changed his mind?
Here I am stepping off the plane into what they told me would be harm's way. When I arrived here, it was a totally different story. When I'd go to the supermarket, people would come up to me and they'd say, "Where are you from?" At first, I would hesitate, but eventually I would say, "I'm from the United States." And then people would begin to, they would hug me and they would say, "Alan Wasal, welcome." I wasn't expecting this. It was the hugs and the love of Muslims in Saudi Arabia that brought me, completed my trip to Islam.
And finally, Samuel shares his thoughts on Dawah, and his love for the deen shines through.
Now I smuggle Qurans. I smuggle it in my heart. I smuggle it in my smile. I smuggle it, and they can't stop me. Nobody can stop Islam. In the United States, our president, Donald Trump, when he first got elected and installed in office, almost immediately he tried to stop Muslims from coming to America because he promised when he was running for office he would end Muslims coming to America. But you know, he didn't expect what would happen. Christians and Jews went to the airports and demanded that the Muslims be permitted to enter the United States. Churches began playing the azan from their steeples. People stopping in this. I've got videos of this. People stopping in the street in Boston on their knees on the sidewalk praying when they hear the azan. Nobody can stop this. Look here. We're in Norway. God bless this country for receiving so many wonderful refugees. They spread them all over Norway. They also didn't understand they were spreading Islam all over Norway. Not a radical Islam, but a loving and kind Islam that wants people to know Allah and the Prophet, who is a great mercy to mankind.